This is the PoetryFoundation.org podcast, December 5th, 2006. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, the dead speak in poetry. On this program, we often hear poets reading their poems, but recording technologies are relatively new, and we simply don't know what a lot of the greatest poets sounded like. Wouldn't it be amazing to hear Shakespeare read the soliloquies of King Lear, or Keats read Ode to a Grecian Urn in his Cockney accent, or Tennyson reading The Charge of the Light Brigade? It's hard to hear, but that is Tennyson, for real. And here's his rival, Robert Browning. And here's William Butler Yeats.
I rise in the dawn, and I kneel and blow.
And here's Langston Hughes.
Down on Lenox Avenue the other night, by the pale, dull pallor of an old gas light.
And here's Nick Marino.
Those poems are from Poetry on Record, which is a 4-CD box set of poets reading their own work.
Nick wrote an essay about this CD collection that's on the PoetryFoundation.org website.
You are connected to these poets in a more intimate way than you probably could be under any other circumstances. They are, you know, in some cases, whispering right into your ear practically. And in other cases, they're kind of hissing at you through static.
And here's Rebecca Presson Mosby, the person who compiled and edited the recordings. Rebecca, first of all, where did you get those recordings of Tennyson and Browning? I've never even heard them.
Isn't that amazing? Those recordings were made by Thomas Edison.
In Edison, New Jersey?
No. He sent machines to England. Tennyson and Browning were recorded in England using wax cylinder machines that Edison had the foresight and the intelligence to ship off.
Now, you're a radio producer, and you're the former host of the public radio program New Letters on the Air, and so you've interviewed lots and lots of poets over the years. Mm-hmm. So what do you get out of hearing poets read their own work instead of just reading their work?
For me, it brings so much dimension to the poem that isn't there by reading it on the page. And that's whether or not the poet is a great reader. What you learn when you listen is you get a sort of a bit of DNA. You get a personal encounter with the poet, whether he or she is living or dead.
You know, I work in audio, and I've worked in radio, and I've heard a lot of these collections, and there are surprises. For example, to hear Sylvia Plath reading her famous poem, Daddy.
I made a model of you, a man in black with a Mein Kampf look and a love of the rack and the screw, and I said, I do, I do. So, Daddy, I'm finally through. The black telephone's off at the root. The voices just can't worm through. If I've killed one man, I've killed two. The vampire who said he was you and drank my blood for a year. 7 years, if you want to know. Daddy, you can lie back now. There's a stake in your fat black heart, and the villagers never liked you. They are dancing and stamping on you. They always knew it was you. Daddy, daddy, you bastard, I'm through.
Oh, it's painful, isn't it?
It's a chilling poem.
It's a chilling poem, and you can really tell that she's a woman who is deeply troubled when you hear her read.
And what surprised you in some of these readings?
I think the biggest one was the Ginsberg reading of America.
Really?
America, I can't stand my own mind. America, when will we end the human war? Go fuck yourself with your atom bomb. I don't feel good. Don't bother me. I won't write my poem until I'm in my right mind. When will you be angelic?
You know, when I read that in college, it was such a serious poem and such a important social commentary, and it never occurred to me that you could just fall on the ground laughing hearing it read. And Ginsberg just milks the double entendre for all of their worth. And it's just a really fun, outrageous reading, I think.
When can I go into the supermarket and buy what I need with my good looks? America, after all, it is you and I who are perfect, not the next world. Your machinery is too much for me. I don't want to work for a living. You made me want to be a saint. There must be some other way to settle this argument.
One of the big surprises was hearing John Berryman read. Now, I've read his poem. He has some of the most complex poetry written in the 50s and 60s. And I never knew how he did some of his line breaks or why he broke some of his lines where he did or what, how he makes sense of his own poems.
Exactly.
The high ones die, die, they die. You look up and who's there? Easy, easy, Mr. Bones. I is on your side. I smell your grief. I send my grief away. I cannot care forever. With them all again and again, I died and cried, and I have to live. Now, there you exaggerate, sir. We have to die. That is our appointed task. Love and die.
That was a lesson to be learned, just to hear his voice and the flatness of his accents and the affect and his performative aspect of what he was doing.
Right, and you just hit on something important about hearing this range of poetry read, too, is you get to hear how the style of reading poetry changes over time, and you can tell who the trailbreakers are in that regard.
If you had to pick one poem that was the best recording and performance, what would it be in this collection? The one poem that really stands out.
There are a bunch of these that I just go crazy every time I listen to them. One reviewer who just reviews slam poetry said that the hands-down best reader was Hayden Carruth.
Me, a 67-year-old galoot, an old fool, because all old men are fools. They have to be. Shoveling big, jagged chunks of that ordinary pie into my mouth, and the water falling from my eyes onto the pie, the plate, my hand, little speckles shining in the light, brightening the colors. And I ate that goddamn pie, and it tasted good to me.
So Hayden Carruth.
Yeah, Hayden Carruth. I thought that was really interesting.
Thanks, Rebecca.
You're welcome, Curtis.
Rebecca Presson Mosby is the producer of the CD box set Poetry on Record, 98 Poets Read Their Work, 1888 to 2006, which is out from Shout Factory. Check out Nick Marino's article about this box set on poetryfoundation.org. Do drop us a line about what you think of this program at podcast@poetryfoundation.org, or write a review of the program on iTunes or on the podcast directory of your choice. The music used in this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For the PoetryFoundation.org podcast, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.